Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Americans are saying goodbye to the beautiful, noble penny. All right, listeners, welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me in the studio today, along with my co-host, Garrett, as we discuss the second part of our September Newsworthy Clips article.
Hello, everybody. We get to talk about my home country today.
We talk about your home country all the time,
That's
Garrett.
That's true.
This is an American-focused program. I'm not entirely sure why, but I guess it's because America is a
great place.
Yeah, an influential place. We have this clever title for today's lesson, A Change in Your Change, which really makes no sense at all until you remember that there are sort of two definitions for this word change, right? One is making something different. The other one is, of course, the coins in your pocket or the extra money you get back after a transaction. So we're using both definitions here, and that's what makes it make sense. When you understand that there is going to be something different about the change you carry around in your pocket as a result of this. Now, listeners, we're going to be, like I said, looking through our September Newsworthy Clips article here today. I would encourage you to get your magazine and open it up. If you don't have it, I think you should get one because it is a great way and the easiest way to support us here at Advanced. It's also good for your learning to be able to follow along during a reading. Now, Garrett and I, we've been mentioning pennies and a change in the change. Essentially, what is happening here is the U.S. is trying to get away from pennies.
Yeah, the smallest coin or the one that's worth the least.
You know, Canada already got rid of its penny.
Okay.
So you're kind of copying us.
Yeah.
I suppose. Maybe. Now, we got rid of our penny. We'll get into this a little more over the course of this article, but we basically got rid of our pennies because it costs more to make a penny than a penny.
Yep, and it says that in our article today, too.
So it's the same reason for the United States. It's like the penny was just losing money all the time. And it of all the coins, it is sort of the one that is not the least appreciated, let's say. Like if you are going to throw a coin into a pool at a local mall, like a wishing well, it's going to be your pennies.
Probably.
Handfuls of pennies going into these things.
This article reminds me of the enormous stash of pennies that I have back home that I got from tips when I was working at a coffee shop. But I never knew what to do with them.
Yeah.
They're just annoying.
You know what I do with them? I put them in Pringles cans. So I have all these empty Pringles cans full of pennies stacked up around all over the place. Anyway, there's sort of this problem, but if you think about eliminating the penny, it does create a problem, right? Because right now in North America, frequently what happens is there's a price on the price tag, but then that price does not include the tax.
Yeah.
Unlike in many other countries where the tax is already included in the price, in North America, you go and then when you get to the cash register, you're getting all these numbers like $17.93.
Yeah.
Like $17.93. And of course, you would either give 3 pennies to the cashier or receive 2 pennies back with a transaction like that. So now the question is, who keeps those pennies? And that is largely what is being discussed in our first reading here, right? They have to come up with a system that everybody can agree on, kind of a standardization for how to, what we call round numbers. So bring it to the nearest 5 cents because that's the next smallest coin, the nickel.
This seems like it's ripe for some giant scheme to like make that extra couple cents off of a whole bunch of transactions. I'm thinking of the movie Office Space.
Yeah.
Maybe we can come up with something similar.
I discovered that when I buy my morning coffee during my morning walk, if I pay in cash, I always get to keep the pennies.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it for a couple cents cheaper every time if I pay in cash. If I pay with a card, like a credit card, they charge you the pennies. So pennies still kind of exist on paper, just not in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, without further ado, let's get Campbell to read this for us today. We're going to do two readings, listeners, and we'll jump into the first one together now.
A change in your change. As the U.S. says goodbye to pennies, Washington state lawmakers have reached a solution for how local businesses should handle rounding during cash transactions. The measure would use this guidance. If the total ends in 1 or 2 cents, it rounds down to zero, and a total ending in 3, 4, 6, or 7 cents rounds to 5. A total that ends in 8 or 9 cents rounds up to 10. Washington, like other states, rushed to put the rules in place after President Donald Trump directed the U.S. Treasury Department to halt the production of new 1-cent coins in February 2025. The last penny was minted on November 12th. Non-cash transactions, such as credit card payments, would remain unchanged.
All right. Thank you so much, Campbell. Garrett starts off by telling us the U.S. is saying goodbye to pennies, and then it makes reference to Washington state lawmakers. I will be honest, this is a source of endless confusion to me as a non-American, because you have Washington state and Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And Washington, D.C. is both just a city, but it's also kind of a shorthand way of referring to the U.S. government at large, right?
Uh-huh.
So you would say, like, he works in Washington, which kind of suggests he works for the federal government, right? Or you could say, like, I don't know, like, Washington is not my favorite city, know, in reference to the city itself.
Sure.
Or you could say, like, Washington is trying to figure out how to deal with these pennies.
Yeah, although I feel like increasingly when people want to refer to Washington, D.C., they don't call it Washington, but just D.C.
They call it D.C. Yeah. What exactly is the D.C. for our listeners?
The District of Columbia.
And Columbia there is spelled kind of not like the country.
No, it's not Colombia.
C-O-L-O. Columbia. It's got a U in it, right?
Which ironically, Washington State has a famous Columbia River, I believe.
Is there a reason that they called it District of Columbia, even though it is not anywhere near a place called Columbia?
I have no idea.
They just kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Good for them. It's odd because the state of Washington didn't exist when the city of Washington
was built,
right? America. It's like a land of mystery, hey? Listeners, you're going to have to get on with your ChatGPT or your Grok, your AI, and have a long conversation about these things. I'm sure you will find out some interesting answers, and you're welcome to share them with us on our social media. So nonetheless, the U.S. is saying goodbye to pennies. Washington State is trying to figure out rules for stores and people in Washington State to adapt to this new change in a relatively undramatic way. And they've reached a solution for how businesses should handle rounding. Now, when they say rounding here, we're basically talking about how in math, right, if you have a 1 or a 2, then you round down to 0. If you have 3 or 4, you round up to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same is true for 5 and up, rounding to 10, et cetera, et cetera. This is a grade 1, grade 2 sort of math lesson. But the question is, how are you going to do this for the penny? Because it means people are losing pennies.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So took some time. They've worked it out. But the measure, it tells us, would use this guidance. Now, guidance, is that a law?
Doesn't sound like it.
They're sort of proposing a way to do it, but you don't have to do it this way, I think, is kind of the idea. So, what have you decided in Washington? Have you followed the standard math convention? Yes, you have. It tells us if the total ends in 1 or 2 cents, it rounds down to 0, and the total ending in 3, 4, 6, or 7 rounds to 5. I don't know why they added the 6 or 7, but that does make sense if it's over 5, I suppose, right?
It rounds down.
And then you would say, 8, 9, 10 goes up to 10.
Yep.
And then I guess you could say 11, 12 goes down to 10, right? So they figured out this system. They're just following the math rules everybody learns in grade 1 or 2. A total that ends in 8 or 9 cents rounds up to 10. Oh, I'm delighted they've worked this out.
Well, I have a question with this then. Simon, you said in Canada, you guys got rid of the penny a while back. Do you have this same system?
Exactly the same.
All right.
Like I say, I feel like it's been easy. It should have been easier on the good folks at Washington State. They could have just copied. But Washington, like other states, we're told, rushed to put the rules in place after President Donald Trump directed the U.S. Treasury Department, that's the branch of the U.S. government that handles money, to halt the production of new one-cent coins in February 2025. And the last penny was, they use an interesting term here, minted on November 12th. What do you do when you mint coin?
You create them, essentially.
That's right. Non-cash transactions. Now, this is the one I mentioned in the introduction with my coffee. So you're using a credit card or a bank card, such as credit card payments would remain unchanged. Unchanged meaning you still have to pay the 2 pennies.
So essentially, the price of things will be different when you pay in cash versus with a card.
That is exactly what happened to me with the coffee. Yeah. I found I could win big. Of course, inflation just took that all away. You know, prices started raising. The size of cups got smaller.
Yeah.
Inflation has been a difficult beast to handle. So what do you think? Does this make sense?
Yep, it makes a lot of sense. I wonder if there will be people with bad feelings because they lost their 1 or 2 cents.
I imagine there will be. Would you feel bad?
I don't know. Probably not.
It's one of those things like when there's a news report 2 years from now that tells you how many hundreds of dollars you're losing a year because companies figured it out faster than you. You know what I mean? Like then you might care.
Yeah. To be fair, I use cash a lot here on the island, but not really when I'm in the U.S.
Oh, see, I use cash everywhere. But I will say that the penny is the unloved coin in North America. It is the unloved coin because, you know, 4 of them is, you know, a lot of pennies in your pocket. Like it gets heavy, right?
That's true.
You end up walking around with a handful of pennies and then you have to take them out and throw them in a fountain or whatever. So people don't count pennies too much.
Yeah. It does come to mind growing up, whenever you found a penny like on the road, it would be considered good luck.
Well, there's that whole saying.
Yeah.
Find a penny, pick it up, and all the day
you'll have good luck.
That's right. I think it would be a bigger problem, to be honest, if they got rid of the U.S. $1 bill or $1 coin. Like if they tried to do it at the dollar level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a pain.
Anyway. Nonetheless, that brings us to our second reading where we're basically talking about why this has become necessary, the expense of making money. Campbell, take it away.
The expense of making money. The government decided to put the kibosh on copper-colored coins to save money. Over the past 10 years, the total production cost of the penny has risen from 1.3 cents to 3.69 cents per penny, the agency wrote in a set of recommendations in December 2025. The U.S. Mint projects an immediate annual savings of $56 million in reduced material costs by stopping penny production. But cash, and even pennies, still remain relevant. Cash transactions account for 14% of all U.S. consumer payments, according to the Federal Reserve Financial Services 2025 Diary of Consumer Payment Choice. Some consumers prefer cash for its anonymity, or the freedom it provides from digital devices. Others, such as unhoused people, have to use cash because they lack a permanent residential address, which is necessary to open a traditional bank account and obtain a bank card. Around 114 billion pennies remain in circulation, and they continue to hold their value per the U.S. Treasury Department. The plethora of existing coins means Sarah Whitesides, a cashier at City Market, isn't concerned about responding to any immediate changes. Maybe, eventually, they'll start being a little bit harder to find, she said. But I think it's going to be a very, very long time.
I'll be honest, this reading is fascinating. It's full of fascinating language stuff and
absolutely
little rabbit trails. We'll try to stay focused, listeners, but this is the idea of the need to reform the money system is a very interesting one. I'll just start by explaining, you know, in Canada, when I grew up, there was a paper $1 bill.
Okay.
And then they shifted it to a coin for the same reason. The coins lasted longer.
Mm-hmm.
It cost less, basically. Each coin cost more to produce, but it was so much more durable that
it, they didn't have to replace it as often.
So they went through this giant shift. But in the days when they had the paper dollar, you could still get a $1 coin. It was called a silver dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And they produced them every year, and people would get one from the bank and collect them and stuff. But they were like a dollar. But over time, like, it's a $1 coin, but it'll cost you like $25, $30 to buy one now. Because it's, you know, it's a $1 coin, but it's actually kind of this expensive collector's item because it costs so much to produce, right?
Yeah.
So in the U.S., there's also not just the penny issue. You also have American silver dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You have dollar coins. There's pressure to shift to not like a silver dollar collector's coin, but a daily use coin.
I feel like most of the dollar coins I have are gold kind of colored.
Maybe.
I believe. We call them Sacagaweas.
I mean, they kind of mention it here. The first fascinating language use is something you would hear from multicultural America, the kibosh. They're putting the kibosh on.
I think we heard kibosh from Campbell.
Don't you say kibosh?
I have never heard this phrase before.
Okay, here's the problem, listeners. This is not English.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is it is Yiddish.
That would have been my
guess.
Does
that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like this Eastern European Jewish language that came with Jewish immigrants to places like New York.
And has actually affected the English language in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, we should trust Campbell on this because he is from New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always heard it said kibosh. Maybe he said kibosh.
Kibosh. Mm-hmm.
It is kibasa, that Polish sausage.
Kielbasa.
Kielbasa? No. Oh, no. It's getting more confusing. I thought it was going to be less confusing. Never mind. Basically, what it means is they've squashed this. They've stopped it. They've forcibly ended it.
Put an end to
it. Yeah. Killed it off. Canceled it. But the thing I thought was fascinating was they said they've put the kibosh on the copper-colored coins.
Mm-hmm.
Because pennies are not made of copper anymore.
Nope, but
because copper is expensive. They just look like they're made of copper. They used to be made of copper, but now they aren't because copper is too expensive. So they're already like trying to find ways to save money on these things, right? It says over the past 10 years, the total production cost of the penny has risen from 1.3 cents, presumably per penny, to 3.69 cents per penny. The agency wrote this in a series of recommendations. The U.S. Mint... Now, how is the U.S. Mint different from the U.S. Treasury?
I would imagine the U.S. Mint is under the Department of Treasury.
And it's just the thing that actually makes the money.
Yes, they mint the coins.
They don't just – and print the bills, right? Okay, fair enough. So the U.S. Mint projects an immediate annual savings of $56 million in reduced material costs by stopping penny production. It's a lot of money, but America spends a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot, but it's a small fraction of the budget.
Yeah, it's a lot for me. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, cash, even pennies, still remains relevant, despite the fact people are throwing them into fountains.
Yes.
It remains relevant. It's an important thing. Now, this next statistic, I know it kind of surprised you. It says cash transactions, which basically means like when you're in the store and you pay using physical money instead of your credit card or your card. Cash transactions account for 14% of U.S. consumer payments. I thought that was tiny. You thought that was high.
Yeah. Just my experience living in the U.S., no one uses cash really.
Why not?
Because you have to carry it around. It's a pain. You just pay for everything with a card.
You may have heard, listeners, that Americans have consumer debt problems. Mm-hmm. This is why. It's because they just flash these cards around and they have no idea how much they've spent.
That's
until they
true.
Get their bill at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nonetheless, 14% of people are paying with cash, apparently. And this is according to the Federal Reserve Financial Services. The Federal Reserve is yet another, I almost said government. It's not really the government. It's the part of the American system.
Yeah.
That is supposed to be politically independent from the government,
yep.
but controls the money supply.
And interest rates and
interest
stuff
rates,
like
stuff like that. Okay. So they have basically decided that this, you know, this is their statistic, right? And they've released this in their Diary of Consumer Payment Choice, which mm-hmm. presumably is a report
yep.
on how consumers choose to pay for things.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating report. Why do people like cash? Obviously, like, you use your card in America
mm-hmm.
because of convenience.
Yeah.
Why do you use cash here?
Well, because I guess I use a card sometimes here,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of places only take cash.
It's easier. It's common, more
yeah.
common here. I will say the last few times in the summer I've been to Canada and I go to pay with cash. People are like momentarily confused.
Yeah. And my experience is there are some places that just don't accept cash at all.
Yeah. They're kind of like, huh? Like, huh? Cash? Yeah. What? And I will say the skill of the average cashier in making change has declined significantly. Like, there used to be a whole training process for teaching people how to handle change. Like, for example, they would count your money back to you.
Uh-huh.
And they would put the coins in your hand first and the bills on top.
Yeah.
So that you didn't, you know, often here you get bills with the coins on top and they're like sliding all over
it's
the place.
Very
it's very awkward.
Yeah.
But there is actually a way that cashiers sort of did this. It was like a professional standard
mm-hmm.
that they sort of followed, whereas now that seems to have kind of disappeared, perhaps with the frequency of cash transaction.
Yep.
So nonetheless, this is what we see. They prefer cash basically for anonymity and the freedom it provides from digital services. Anonymity here means nobody knows who you are or how you've spent your money.
Yeah, it's like the word anonymous.
Because the bank tracks what you're doing if you use the card, right? And maybe gives that information to others. So it also provides you freedom from digital devices. You don't have to use them. If there's a power outage, you can still buy things.
Yeah.
Right? If your phone battery dies, you can still buy things. Others, such as unhoused people, that's sort of the new term for homeless people.
Yeah. I would say the term homeless is still much more popular.
Pretty standard, but unhoused is definitely politically correct. It just means you do not have a house,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. Because they don't have homes, they don't have permanent addresses, so it's difficult to access financial services. So those people in that situation tend to use cash because they have to. Okay. Otherwise, though, it seems people are mostly using bank cards. It tells us around 114 billion pennies remain in circulation in my Pringles cans and under your childhood bed from your tips.
I probably still have a few hundred of them.
Yeah. Oh, I think you probably have thousands. You'd be,
I'd be surprised
how many there are. Yeah. There's 114 billion of them floating around out there. In circulation just means in use in mm-hmm. people's pockets, et cetera. They continue to hold their value as per the U.S. Treasury Department, meaning just because they're not making pennies doesn't mean your penny is not worth a penny.
Mm-hmm.
You can still
go into a store.
You can still buy things with it if you want to. It's just once it circulates back to the Treasury, probably going to disappear. So hide them. Hide them from the government if you want to keep them. Tell us about that last paragraph there. What's it say?
All right. We see one of my favorite words, the plethora of existing coins, means Sarah Whitesides, a cashier at City Market, isn't concerned about responding to any immediate changes. If you have a plethora of things, you have a lot of it.
Mm, yeah. So when she says the plethora of existing coins here, she's not talking about nickels, dimes, quarters, pennies. She's talking about the 114 billion pennies
yep.
specifically, right? So she's this cashier. She's making change with pennies all the time. She's not concerned about any immediate changes. And she goes on to give this quote, maybe eventually they'll start being a little bit harder to find, but I think it's going to be a very, very long time. I think she's going to be surprised.
Hmm.
They disappeared quickly in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few months or a year of transition, but things like this tend to disappear a lot faster than you might think.
Yeah, and people might just leave them at home because they don't want to worry about it, and so then they won't be in the cash registers.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. People tend to save them for keepsakes, you know, because they think they'll be more valuable. But there's 114 billion of them. Probably better just to roll them up and take them to the bank.
Well, the other thing that would happen if pennies disappeared completely is people couldn't make those collectible, like, pressed pennies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but those use plain copper discs, right? Don't they imprint? Like, you're talking about the ones at a tourist place, right? Yeah, but that's not a real penny.
I thought it was.
No, it's a copper disc, and they actually, it's like a minting machine
where
they mint like a picture of the place you're at.
Yeah.
But squish it. They squish it flat usually.
I thought it
too,
squished
right?
an actual penny. I don't know. I haven't used one in a long time.
I think that would be illegal because you're not supposed to destroy money.
You're not
money,
allowed to destroy legal tender.
I will say, though, there was a time in my life when I'm going to say no people who would put them on the railroad track.
Okay.
To let them be squished.
Yeah. Okay.
Just for fun.
Hmm.
Yeah. Don't mess around with railroads, though, people. I'm not advocating for that at all.
Indeed.
That brings us to the end of our second newsworthy clip, listeners. But don't worry, we have one more tomorrow. Garrett, you going to come back?
I think so.
3 days. Fantastic. Listeners, until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.